All right. Hey, Fritz Berger, bloodandfaith.com. It's the last day of May 2022. Working on trying to frame our current situation for you. We're in this thing called the Great Reset. What is the Great Reset? Well, it's a lot of things, and you've read little portions here, little portions there. I'm trying to put it together for you. It is a forced crash of the old order in the resurrection of a new order, and they're very open about it. They're creating problems that they intend to solve by consolidating control at the top in the center, using new techniques and new technologies to essentially enslave mankind. They don't say it that way. They make it sound pretty. They have a great marketing campaign. You will own nothing and you will be happy. It's kind of like all the people that live in Section 8 housing and that are on welfare. You own nothing, but you're happy, aren't you? Section 8 dwellers, those of you on welfare. Isn't that wonderful? Government takes care of all of your needs, provides your food for you, gives you housing. Government education, government schools, government retirement with Social Security. You already own nothing, and they say you're happy. And what they have in mind is for the rest of us, the fast disappearing middle class, to own nothing and be happy. I'm not happy with globalism. Globalism was a fraud from the beginning. You could see that. I remember back under Bill Clinton, we're going to let China into the World Trade Organization. The Bushes, they're all together in this. Well, a New World Order. Remember the New World Order guy? They say it. They're explicit about it. This isn't a conspiracy theory. It's New World Order. One World Government. They don't use that term usually. Oh, we're not getting rid of all the governments. They call that a conspiracy theory. Yet they clearly call it a New World Order. They clearly call it a global reset. You have the World Economic Forum. 20 years ago, nobody even heard of this thing. You have World Governance Council. 20 years ago, nobody even knew that existed. Was that a card in a board game? What is that? And they're creating conditions to consolidate control of the top. And it's a project that's been going on. Theologically, I can say this is a project that's been going on since Babel, but God keeps striking it down. Empires rise and empires fall. Yet there's this impetus towards centralized control over mankind. You see it over the individual empires. And now we're coming full circle where it's almost global. There are a few holdouts. China is all for it because they see themselves as the inheritor of the world. They see themselves inheriting the world and all the power. Russia is a resistor. Near as I can tell, they're not buying into this stuff. I think that's one of the reasons why there's a war against Russia. It seems to be a NATO versus Russia thing. You can call it the West if you want. And the battleground is Ukraine. There's war in Europe. If you don't believe this is happening, look at the price of gasoline. We've gone from $2 a gallon to $4.50 a gallon in a year and a half. Mysteriously, food plants are burning up all over the world. What a coincidence. Never seen that in my lifetime, with this many burning up all at once. By the way, you can't get wheat out of the Ukraine or Russia anymore, and all the fertilizer, potash and whatnot, you can't get it out of the Ukraine or Russia. What a coincidence. What a coincidence that wolves have been released all over North America for the last, year or so. Maybe they don't want independent, couple decades. Maybe they don't want independent ranchers out there raising beef. They want it all controlled, either on big mega farms that can be controlled, or we're going to be eating bugs. Bill Gates is teaching us how to eat bugs. And this push for universal global vaccinations. Sorry, evil. Do not trust them. If you're still at the point where you trust them, I don't know what to say. They've been lying all along. They lie and they lie and they lie. And there's a combination between the press and the government. And who's in charge? I don't know. I don't even know. That's part of the problem with these big governments. Nobody really knows who's in charge. It always looks like there's somebody in charge, but you don't really know. Even with the current situation with the president of the United States, does anybody really believe he's in charge? Yet, who do we point the finger to? You whisper this and whisper that. And this is how they do it. This is how they play the game. Who's in charge of the World Economic Forum? Klaus Schwab, or is he just a spokesperson? Is he just the mouth? Is there anybody really in charge? Who's pulling the strings behind the scene? Who's pulling the strings? I don't know. Nobody knows. This is why it's hard to resist it. You can't identify and personalize the people doing the evil. They're all around us. They're amongst us. They're us. It's insidious. And anybody that gets out of line and either speaks against them will be punished. Or if they dare to do something something kinetic, well, then they're we know how that goes. Ruby Ridge, Waco. Funny how the government says they're against violence, yet burned those women and kids alive at Waco. No apologies. Nobody held accountable. Nothing. Drone people around the world, drone weddings, drone women, drone kids. Nobody's held accountable. Nothing. Interesting. Interesting how that happens. Political prisoners in D.C., and yet Antifa BLM can burn down cities, riot, create weapons of mass destruction, which is what I think Molotov cocktails are considered. No consequences. You speak out of turn. Oh, we got a domestic terrorism threat. It's interesting now, too, how they're demonizing. Of course, they're going to demonize Christians and whites. It's almost unbelievable, but this is what's going on. The demonization of Christians and whites. And if you're not white, you need to wake up to this. And you want to get on their bandwagon, fine. But you shouldn't. You shouldn't. Nobody came to this country. Nobody came to the United States because it was run by Somalians or Guatemalans, for that matter. They came to this country. They came to the United States because it was run by Christian and European people, where we used to have something good going on for us. But what's going on? There's an agenda to utterly destroy our European heritage and any and all vestiges of Christianity. Right down into the grade schools, pushing this LGBTQ. It's child abuse. LGBTQ pushed on society, pushed on children is child abuse. It's child abuse. And the people pushing it ought to be treated like child abusers. I don't care how high of a political office they hold. If you're pushing LGBTQ on children, you're an abuser of children. You're a predator. And you ought to be treated like one to the full extent of the law. And if the law exists to protect the people that are preying on children, then it's no law at all. But there is a law. There is a law. And it will be dealt with. It will be handled. Don't know how, but it will be. Funny how nobody that went to Epstein Island is held accountable. Oh, it was just Epstein. He was all alone on an island. he just was there for himself. Yeah, I don't think so. I don't think so. Judge lets the guy go free over a decade ago. He said, yeah, it's an intel operation. Leave it alone. Leave the guy alone. Which intel? Well, we know who Ghislaine Maxwell's father was. He was in Israeli intelligence. It's certainly clear that our government, law enforcement, intelligence agencies knew about it. When you have Secret Service agents flying back and forth to the island accompanying ex-presidents, can't say nobody knew about it. Can't say that. Sorry. When you have major government leaders coming out and saying, we're facing a major food crisis in the world. They know what's coming. They're planning on it. They've planned it. And they're doing very, very little to address it. Nobody's calling for people to build gardens in their backyards. By the way, if you have a half-acre lawn in your backyard and you're watering it, fertilizing it, why don't you plow it up and plant some crops? Might do yourself some good. Might do your family some good. So they talk about famine. They talk about food shortages. But nobody's saying, hey, go build yourself a Liberty Garden. Remember the Liberty Gardens from World War II? Government said, hey, we need all the food for the troops. Build a garden. Start gardening. You don't see that anymore. You don't see that. Oh, no, you can't garden. It's against zoning. Can't have chickens. They want to reduce you to utter servility. It's just in your face. This isn't a conspiracy theory. You'll own nothing and be happy. And if you don't believe the slogan, look at the trend. You're enslaved every day. The more you go into debt, the more you're enslaved. And the more you're in debt, the more you get into debt. The system's designed to enslave you to that. Debt is slavery. It's funny how they say, oh, I'm against slavery. Slavery. It's a legacy of slavery. We got the legacy of slavery now. It's not the legacy. It's the current situation. Instead of farming cotton or whatever it is, you're a debt slave. You're a debt slave. You're a debt peon. Oh, I'm against racism and I'm against the legacies of slavery. Meanwhile, nobody is permitted to talk about the debt slavery and the bankers. Oh, anti-Semitism. It's anti-Semitic. So you protect the modern-day slavers. You protect the slavers. Come on. Debt is slavery. Debt is slavery. But you are not permitted to speak of that. You're not permitted to talk about that. Oh, no. You're a homeowner. You're free now. Your credit cards give you the liberty to do what you want. You're a debt slave. You're a debt slave. We're all debt slaves. We live in this quote-unquote capitalist world. It's not a free market. Don't ever conflate this with a free market. Don't even call it capitalism. Call it debt capitalism. Let's call it debt capitalism. That's probably a better way to look at it. And these bankers make money out of nothing, and they collect interest payments on money that they never owned, lending money even to governments. It's debt slavery. This debt-based capitalism is slavery. And this globalism, let's be clear about the effects of globalism. Globalism has not been a rising tide lifting all ships. That's not the case. What it's done is it created efficiencies that skim even more off the top. And the middle classes disappear. The middle classes disappear around the world. And the poor people don't make any more money. I mean, you read about the iPhones, you read about the Apple. Oh, I just don't understand. We're giving those poor Chinese people good jobs. No, we're not. No, we're not. They're making, I don't know what they're making, but they're not making a lot of money. Taking good jobs from Americans, shipped it over to China. And they're living in these 80-story apartment buildings, crammed in there like rats, working 12 hours a day, 7 days a week. What do you mean we're helping them out? The rich get richer. This quote-unquote flat world, flat economic world, has enormously increased the billionaires. I don't know that there was a billionaire when I was a kid. I don't know that a billionaire existed when I was a kid. This super efficiency of a global flat market run by the financiers, by the merchants, has made them as gods on the earth. And they own their own rocket forces. They own their own space forces. They got more money than NASA. They're building their own space fleets. They're building their own starships. I mean, let's be clear. They're building their own starships to go into outer space and colonize Mars. Debt-based capitalism, the financialization of everything. And then you got wicked men like Bill Gates. We're going to jam substances in you that modify, they're modified DNA. Tell your DNA what to do, modified RNA. That's what Moderna is, modified RNA. That's what the name means. Pfizer executive came out the other day, hey, our goals, you know, we're reaching our goal, reduce population by 50%. Said it. Mass murderers on their hands. Why do you think they promote abortion? Abortion, homosexuality. And they want to shut down any dissenting voices. It's stunning. It's stunning. We live in a world where the Bible is now illegal. You quote certain scriptures out of the, you quote things out of the Holy Scriptures online. It's happened to me multiple times. Well, you can't say that. You can't say that. No. It's the Word of God. It's the Holy Scriptures. It's eternal. Heaven and earth will pass away, but the Word of God will not pass away. Oh, but it's racist, sexist, homophobic, transphobic, queerphobic, intolerant, divisive, anti-Semitic, and Islamophobic. One or the other. Oh, we're going to ban it. Ban hate. I mean, okay, let's talk about hypocrisy. I'm going to give you an example of an organization that is utterly hypocritical. These are groups like the Anti-Defamation League, ADL. It's a Jewish group. And their entire purpose in life is to defame people. They call themselves the Anti-Defamation League, but their stock and trade is defamation. What they say is, hey, we're Jews. You can't touch us. Can't say a thing about us. But we can defame you and call you haters and racists and Nazis and bigots and homophobic, transphobic, queerphobic, intolerant, divisive, anti-Semitic, Islamophobic. Their stock in trade is defamation. They are there to crush anybody that dares speak a word. You know where they got started, right? Look it up. I'm not even going to go into it. Their stock in trade is defamation. That's hypocrisy right there. All these people say, oh, we're against hate. No, you're not. Your stock in trade is against hate. We're for love. We're against hate. No, when you call people Nazis, call people racist, you're spreading hate. You're spreading hate. And as you conflate all white people with racists and Nazis, you're spreading hate. You're demonizing, dehumanizing, depersonizing the white race. And you've been working on this for a long, long time. That one professor that you've lauded and loved, Noel Ignatieff, PhD from Harvard, very open. My goal is the abolition of the white race. Very open. Very open. Oh, no, but he's a good guy because white people are racist and evil and Nazis. White people are a minority on the planet. By far a minority on the planet compared to Africans and Asians and whatnot, by far. They spread hate. Everything that they say is good is evil, and everything they say is evil is good. White people are great. Jesus Christ is Lord. Christianity is the greatest thing ever. Homosexuality is evil. Farming is great. God put Adam and Eve on a farm. They put them in a garden. Said, here, garden. Go be gardeners. Grow your own food. Be self-sufficient. He didn't give them mass technology. He didn't say, hey, man, here's an iPhone. Go do a startup. Go do an internet startup. The God of the universe put them in a garden. You want to know what human perfection looks like? We all live in our own garden. We grow our own food. That's the closest state of perfection you can get. God's left people everywhere on the planet that would be examples of that. We say, oh, they're just poor farmers. No, they're not poor farmers. They're doing what God called them to do. Even in the Greek scriptures, it says, get a job, work with your hands. Jesus Christ was a carpenter. Work with his hands. The disciples were fishermen, commercial fishermen, food providers, home providers, food providers. Now, some of the converts, Matthew, some of the converts were tax collectors. They were on the financial end of things. They repented. They repented. Nicodemus repented. Lord, if I've stolen anything, I'll give it back four times. The perfect state of humanity is humanity in a garden where they're tending to their crops and they're tending to their herds, raising their crops. Oh, no, you guys can't do that. So you take, you jam 99% of people into these urban cities where you can control them. The Bible talks about urban areas as being evil. Talks about that. I'll pull it up. I think it's Isaiah 66. Funny how I would even remember where it is. It's in Isaiah somewhere. Urban areas are evil. All right, it's not God's plan, but it's the plan for the global resetters. And the more they go along, get along with their agenda, the less control you and I have. I mean, let's be clear. Centralization is not friendly to liberty. Never has been. That's why God abolished Babel. Centralizing influences in mankind are not friendly to liberty. Never been friendly to liberty. This is why God came down and abolished Babel. Mankind would have been enslaved under Nimrod, who stood in the face of God. Evil man. And no nation would have been free to go and develop themselves as a different race, as a different bloodline. Humanity would have been forced together, and we would not have been able to express ourselves as different races, as different bloodlines. The Europeans bring things to the world that the Africans did not. Africans bring things to the world that the Asians did not. Asians bring things to the world that other peoples have not. And most of all, who will serve Jesus Christ? Who will serve Jesus Christ? Of all the peoples on the face of the earth, there's only one portion of the globe that was known as Christendom. It's Europe. There's only one place on the face of the earth that was known as Christendom until the Great Falling Away. And you had the Great Falling Away over the last few centuries. People are looking for the Great Falling Away. It's already happened. Past tense, it's already happened. Big picture, Babel arises. I like the King James version of the story of Babel, Genesis chapter 10. It says they left off building Babel. But that centralizing goal under rebellious man remains. The project remains. Anytime you remove power out of a local area towards a more distant area, you know, we are further enslaved. It's gone from, once upon a time, parents got together and said, hey, we need a school. They said, okay, well, look, you know, we'll just tax ourselves voluntarily, $2 an acre on the land we had, and we'll put that towards a schoolhouse and hire a teacher and teach our youngins, teach our kids. Absolute, total local control, as it should be. Well, you know, then it's county schools. Well, then it's state. Well, then you set up a Department of Education. And you got teachers' unions. And you got the textbook manufacturers. These are businesses. They're businesses. And you got the court saying you can't have the Ten Commandments on the wall. And you can't pray in the name of Jesus Christ anywhere. Pray at all. Evil, 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 evil. Right? Nobody asked for this. Nobody voted for it. How do you think it's going to be when you push all this stuff from the national level up to the UN, World Economic Forum, WHO, World Governance Council? I bring a theological point of view to this because the greatest threat to this mission, in fact, is the church. Because we have a theological narrative, a foundation that says this must be resisted. It must be resisted. There's one king, there's one monarch over the earth. It's Jesus Christ. That's it. There is no global monarch other than Jesus Christ. The centralizing influences of globalism currently are absolutely antichrist. They're antichrist. And it is required that the church resist this. There's one Catholic cardinal, Vagano, V-A-G-A-N-O. He calls it out. He resists it. He says, you got to resist it. This is your Christian duty. Boy, the church is silent, man. The church is silent. If you hear even evangelicals say anything about it, oh, well, we don't want to be involved in politics because politics is dirty. And, you know, those evil people that are Christian nationalists. It's like, man, you bought into the system. You bought into the system. It's the same kind of spirit that happened in Babylonian captivity. It all these people, they were living in Babylon. Nebuchadnezzar says, come out on the plain and you're going to bow down and worship this image that I've set up. How many people said no? How many people were willing to put their lives on the line and say, no, we're not going to do that? Too few. Too few. There's always too few. There's never enough. Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego, Daniel, they said no. How many of the prophets were against God in the time of Jeremiah? There's a lot of them. They claimed to be the priests and prophets of God, yet it was Jeremiah that was the priest and the prophet of God, and they hated him. They beat him, tried to kill him, threw him in a well that had mud down on the bottom of it, and the Ethiopian eunuch saved him. He wasn't even a Hebrew. Wasn't even of the nation of Israel. And he saved Jeremiah. And that is exactly why God took Philip, the evangelist, and says, you're going to go down and you're going to preach to an Ethiopian eunuch in the book of Acts. God remembered that Ethiopian. He remembered that Ethiopian eunuch from centuries before. And he honored him. He said, okay, here's another one. Philip, go down and you preach to this guy. Stop whatever you're doing. I don't care about these Jews. I don't care about the Gentiles. You're going to go preach to that Ethiopian eunuch, because I remember what he did to save Jeremiah. So it's not the many. You know, you look at these churches, you've heard me talk on about it. Homosexual flag out front. Man, you got pastors out there, they're out there. I mean, Baptist evangelical pastors out there trying to make unity between the Muslims and the Jews. They've already sold out. They've sold out to the Antichrist. They've sold out to the Antichrist. And we're going to talk about the Antichrist. This will be a little longer podcast. I haven't even got to my scriptures yet. Let's start with Babel. Genesis chapter 11, the story of the Tower of Babel. All right, this is a foundational teaching. Why is it that nobody preaches on this anymore? Why? Why do people not preach on the Tower of Babel anymore? How can that be? Because if you teach it, you're going to be called racist, intolerant, divisive. So the pastors won't teach about it. Oh, we just want people to get saved and get born again and go to heaven. And that's what, you know, that's why I'm here. I'm here to give you the big picture. What the church has done is essentially truncated the gospel of Jesus Christ to make it inoffensive to the world. It's truncated the gospel of Jesus Christ to make it inoffensive to the world. We don't want to be offensive to the world. We don't want to offend the Antichrist. The church doesn't even know what an Antichrist is anymore. And we're going to get to the Antichrist. We're going to talk about the Antichrist today. This is going to be a little bit longer than I expected. But why won't you talk about Babel? Because God divided humanity based on race, and he enforced the division by changing the languages. He did it based on race. Why do you think the Hebrews speak Hebrew? Because they're from Eber. They're from Eber. And so the children of Eber spoke Hebrew. Okay, from many nations. Okay, from Adam and Eve, you know, billions of people. From Noah, all the nations. Shem, Ham, and Japheth, all the nations. He required separate nations to see which bloodlines would serve him. Which bloodlines were going to serve Jesus Christ? Those that will. I mean, it's in the Gospels. It's going to judge the nations. Separate them out like sheep and the goats. The nations which with the bloodlines, the races which will not serve Jesus Christ will be utterly wiped out and destroyed. Sorry, that's what the Bible says. But the church has reduced this, and we've atomized human beings. And I get it. I can understand why, because we understand as evangelicals, you need to have an individual, personal conversion to Jesus Christ. I got it. Got that. You must be born again and converted and water baptized. How do you baptize a billion people all at once? Well, maybe you don't, but we had Christendom, folks. We had Christendom. We had Christendom, and we lost it. We allowed the leaven of the Pharisees to come in and utterly pollute it. What is the leaven of Pharisees? It's the doctrines and the precepts of men. You can call it Marxism. You call it atheism. Men make stuff up and say, well, this is the truth, and we'll interpret the Holy Scriptures through our doctrines and our precepts. God wants entire nations. A nation is a bloodline. Entire races to serve him. This is why, you know, I call out the Salvadorans. And I know, trust me, I know the history of El Salvador. Got the PhD in Latin American history. And the Dominicans, and the Nigerians, and the Englishmen, and the Scots, and the Finns, and the Swedes, Norwegians, the Spaniards. Many times you've heard me talk about the Spaniards. They spent 7 centuries reconquering Iberia from an Antichrist spirit. We have to think in those terms again. If there will be no Christian nations, there won't be any Christianity. Sorry, that's the bottom line. That is absolutely the bottom line for anybody that's willing to think about it. And this, the evangelicals, you know, I speak because not as their enemy, but as one of them, okay? Not as their enemy, but as one of them. People need to be individually converted to Jesus Christ, who died on the cross for our sins and who rose bodily from the dead, and be baptized and read the Holy Scriptures. I speak as one of them. So the criticism isn't one of from somebody that's not. I'm part parcel of it. But we've reduced the gospel to something that we think, you know, let's not make our claims too big. Maybe somebody will accept them. And we're trying to make friends with the world, man. As hard as we can, let's be friends with the world. All right, I'm going to give you a big picture of the history of humanity. I know many of us have grown up, you know, oh my God, it's the last days. And we read these eschatology. Back in the 70s, it was what, late great planet Earth? Hal Lindsay? Oh yeah, my mom had those books. Everybody got scared. Oh man, I'm only 14. I want a girlfriend before I get raptured. Silly people that we are. Oh boy. Okay, Daniel chapter 7, verse 14. All right, listen. Guys, this is the history of the world. This is God's plan. This is God's purpose. And to him was given dominion, glory, and a kingdom, that all peoples, nations, and men at every language might serve him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion which will not pass away. And his kingdom is one which will not be destroyed. Who's he talking about? He's talking about Jesus Christ. When's the last time your pastor told you that Jesus Christ is the creator of the universe? Jesus Christ is the creator of the universe. Father said, no, you go create it. Father said, you create it. By him, with him, through him, for him, all things came into being. Jesus Christ is a creator. Hebrews chapter 1, John chapter 1. So to whom is the glory and the dominion? It's to Jesus Christ. Daniel chapter 7, 21 and 22. I kept looking. That horn was waging war with the saints. Okay, we get it. I get it. There's a horn waging war against the saints and overpowering them. Yeah, okay, fine. Until the Ancient of Days came and judgment was passed in favor of the saints of the highest one. Passed in favor of who? Of the saints of the highest one. Who are the saints of the highest one? Those who confess Jesus Christ as Lord. Not Jesus Christ as a religious figure. Sorry, that doesn't cut it. any atheist can say, oh, yeah, you know, Jesus was a good man and a great teacher, and he healed people and, you know, gave out free fish and bread. No. You confess Jesus Christ as Lord God Almighty, as literally the Son of God. Jesus Christ is not a religious figure. He's the Son of God. Anybody seen the Marvel movies with Thanos and Thor and Odin? Thanos, Thor, and Odin all together times a billion is Jesus Christ. Times a billion. Jesus Christ created the entire universe, my friends, my brothers, and my sisters. Jesus Christ created the entire universe. He's not a religious figure. Jesus Christ is not a religious figure. He's the creator of the universe. He is the representation of God. He's the representative of God. You want to approach God the Father? You will go through Jesus Christ. There is no other way to the Father. Oh, I believe in God. But Jesus, you know, he was a good teacher. And there's whole churches, whole denominations, priests, pastors, cardinals, probably the Pope too. Oh, yeah, Jesus is a good man. These people are all antichrists. You know what a whore is? And I'm not belittling prostitutes at all. It's just a false wife. It's a false wife. She gets something out of the deal. He gets something out of the deal. It's just a false wife. Rent a wife for day, hour, week, month, whatever. Oh, you don't even want to get me started on this. Why do you think Satan was after Eve? Why do you think Satan was after Eve? He wanted a false wife. He wanted a wife. Why do you think the sons of God slept with the daughters of men? They wanted to partner up with mankind. Who do you think the whore of Babylon is? The great prostitute rides upon many waters. False wife. I kept looking. That horn was waging war with the saints and overpowering them until the Ancient of Days came and judgment was passed in favor of the saints of the highest one. The time arrived when the saints took possession of the kingdom. Y'all want to fly away, folks. Y'all want to fly away, but there's work on earth to be done. When the saints took possession of the kingdom. Saints are those in Jesus Christ. No other people. Verse 23. The fourth beast will be a fourth kingdom in the earth, and he will be different from all the other kingdoms and will devour the whole earth. Devour the whole earth and tread it down. Okay. I'm not calling out and saying, you know, XYZ is the fourth beast. And, you know, people try to name, oh, the Antichrist and 666. It's, you know, Kissinger or Nixon or whoever, you know, your latest idea is. What I try to do is, okay, here's the principle. Here's the principle. And in the Bible, the beasts represent global empires. They represent global empires. This here is going to devour the whole earth and trample it down and crush it. And he will speak out against the Most High and wear down the saints of the highest one. But the court will sit for judgment, and his dominion will be taken away, annihilated and destroyed forever. Verse 27 of Daniel chapter 7. Then the sovereignty, the dominion, and the greatness of all the kingdoms under the whole heaven will be given to the people of the saints of the highest one. His kingdom will be an everlasting kingdom, and all dominions will serve and obey him. Who's him? Jesus Christ. China, your monarch is Jesus Christ. You can live in rebellion against him and keep worshiping the dragon, or you can burn your dragon and erect a cross and worship Jesus Christ, the rightful and singular heir of all creation. This is my message. There's one king. There's one monarch over mankind. It's Jesus Christ. Like it, lump it. He's the heir of all things. He's the creator of all things. All the nations will serve Jesus Christ as king and monarch. Jesus Christ is not a religious figure. He's the creator of all. Every knee will bow on heaven and on earth and under the earth and confess to the glory of the Father that Jesus Christ is Lord. This is the most true statement that can be made on earth. This is the singular most true statement that can be made on earth. Every knee will bow and every tongue will confess to the glory of the Father that Jesus Christ is Lord. That's not a religious statement. That's a statement of power, a statement of position, a statement of lordship, a statement of ownership. Call it a political statement if you want. Yet it's so much more than that. Jesus Christ is Lord. The nations will repent and they will obey and serve Jesus Christ. And they will be separate nations. This isn't toss the nations into one and add bleach and hit the blend button. That's Satan's project. God loves the nations that he made. He loves all the nations that he made. That's why he made them separate, so he could have a bunch of different nations. Oh, well, are you supporting racial division? God Almighty supported a racial division at Babel thousands of years ago. Read your Bible. Read your Bible. Genesis chapter 11. Why did he do it? To see which nations would serve Jesus Christ as nations. Read your Bible. Acts chapter, I want to say it's 27. It's either 17 or 27. From one, he made many to see if they would serve him, because he's not far from us. Why do you think God called Abraham? Just because he liked Abraham? No, so he could make nations come from Abraham. Your offspring will be as the stars of the sky. He wants nations. Why do you think he chose Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, renamed Israel? And he formed a nation in Egypt, called him out of Egypt. He wants nations to serve him. Ancient Israel was to be but an example for the other nations. It was to be an example for all the other nations. Come, let us go up to Mount Zion. Teach us the word of the Lord. How are you? Why are you so great? Oh, well, I'm so glad you asked. Ten Commandments. As a nation, we obey the Ten Commandments. All the nations will serve. You think God's going to get rid of the Ten Commandments? Ten Commandments are eternal. Why? I don't know about that. Well, hang out here at bloodandfaith.com. I'll teach you. Word of God is eternal. Jesus Christ, first sermon, Matthew chapter 5, Sermon on the Mount. Do not think I came to do away with the law. Very first thing he taught, very first sermon. Don't say that I came to take away with the law. Several times in his short 3 years of preaching the gospel, he reiterated out loud, out of his mouth, the Ten Commandments. Well, the Bible says the law was done away with. Do you know that obeying the Sabbath long predates the law, long predates Moses? It's the very foundation of the story of creation. Obeying the Sabbath goes right back to the time before the fall. Right back to the time before the fall, the Sabbath was established to honor the Almighty God, to rest on the Sabbath as he rested. Well, I just don't believe. Well, all I can do is teach you. All right. So the sovereignty is going to be turned over to the people of the Most High God. Our job is to build Christian nations. Who's our enemy? The enemy is the Antichrist. We're going to talk about the Antichrist. I know. We've all been taught that the Antichrist is coming. Oh, he's over here. Oh, he's over there. Oh, that was him. Oh, there he goes. Well, I think it's this guy. I think it's that guy. 1 John chapter 4, verse 1 through 3. Beloved, do not believe. Now, this is written 2,000 years ago, roughly. Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether or not they're from God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world. Many false prophets have gone into the world. Many. By this you know the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is from God. Okay. Who is Jesus Christ? Okay. Christ means the anointed one. He's the anointed one of God. He's the Savior and he's the anointed one of God. Not Jesus. Oh, yeah. Jesus was this dude. You know, he lived 2,000 years ago and, yeah, he kind of died badly. And, you know, Christians believe he rose from the dead, but, you know. That is not a believer in Jesus Christ. That is not a believer in Jesus Christ. Christ means the Messiah, the anointed one of God. The anointed one. You think the Jews believe he was the anointed one of God? They led the charge to murder him. Do you believe that Jesus is the anointed one and the Messiah of God? Not a religious figure. By this you know the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is from God. Jesus Christ, the anointed one of God, came in the flesh. God was incarnate. Jesus Christ is God incarnate. God incarnated himself. He's in the meat. Carne, for you Spanish speakers. Carne means meat in Spanish. Incarnation, in the meat, Latin. God incarnated himself in the flesh in Jesus Christ. People say, oh, I'd believe in God if he just showed up. He did just show up. I'd believe in God if he, you know, if he rose from the dead. He did rise from the dead. And still you do not believe. Still you do not believe. Jesus Christ looked right at the leaders of Judaism. So you don't believe in Moses. You don't believe in what Moses said. If you did, you would have believed in me. Verse 3. 1 John 4, verse 3. Every spirit that does not confess Jesus is not from God. I don't understand these evangelicals who will point to a certain religion and say, oh yeah, God's chosen. No. Every spirit that does not confess Jesus is not from God. This is the Antichrist. This is the Antichrist. Of which you have heard, it is coming, and it now is already in the world. Antichrist is already in the world, folks. Has been for 2,000 years. According to 1 John chapter 4, verse 3. This is the Antichrist. Those who reject Jesus Christ. It's already in the world. You're all sneaking around looking behind this bush, behind that bush, behind this tree, behind that tree. Oh, there he is. There he goes. Here's the number of his name. This is the Antichrist. Those who reject Jesus Christ as the anointed one of God, as the Messiah, as literally the Son of the Almighty God. Mary was a virgin woman when she gave birth to Jesus Christ. She had been with no man. Jesus Christ was conceived by the power of God Almighty. Jesus Christ is literally the Son of God. You want God? It's Jesus Christ. I and the Father are one. John 10:30. I and the Father are one. Well, that's too big. People just, you know, that's just too big to wrap our heads around. Sorry. That's the gospel of Jesus Christ. And this Christ whom I preach is Lord God and master of every race on the planet. He's the king of every kings. He's the master of every race, every nation, every bloodline. We will build Christian nations in time, in history, on earth. You will be a part of that. Grab a hold of that in your mind and in your heart. I saw Top Gun this weekend. It wasn't as good as the original. We had to go back as a family. We had to watch the original Top Gun. Everybody yearns to be a hero. Everybody yearns to face risk, especially men. I want to be a brave soldier. You know, so we watch, you know, action adventure movies. Oh, I want to be, you know, Bruce Willis. What did he play in? Oh, I want to be the tough guy that, you know, overcomes insurmountable odds and wins and saves the day and is on the side of righteousness. Folks, you got that chance in your life. I don't care if you're a CPA. I don't care if you're a waste collection specialist. We used to call them garbage men. I don't care if you're a corporate bureaucrat, government bureaucrat. We have a monarch. His name is Jesus Christ. We open up our words. We preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. The good news is that Jesus is the anointed one and the Messiah of God, not just for individuals, but for entire nations. And let the demons howl. Let the Antichrist howl. Let them scream for blood and murder like they did for Stephen's blood and for the blood of Jesus Christ and Peter and Paul and James and the saints of Hebrews 11. Let them. What's the worst they can do to you, guys? Don't you want to be like Bruce Willis and Die Hard and be the underdog and yet defeat all the bad guys? You got a chance to do it in this life. Open up your mouth. Enrage Satan. Enrage the seed of the serpent. Tell the truth. That's all you're required to do is tell the truth. Jesus Christ is Lord. He's not a religious figure. Don't reduce him to a religious figure. He's the anointed one of God. He is literally the Son of God. He came to do much more than, you know, and this may sound sacrilegious. I don't mean it to. Yeah, he came to save you from your sins. He's the King of Kings, my friends. He's the King of Kings. He's Lord God Almighty. The proper relationship between a nation and the Creator is that Jesus Christ is Lord. He's the monarch. We're going to build Christian nations now on earth, in history, in time. We're going to build Christian nations. I'm still looking for that prince coming out of Central Africa to say, hey, you know, I got my nation, I got my tribe. We're going to declare that Jesus Christ is Lord. I hope they do. Still waiting for that great revival, the vision of the Valley of the Dry Bones. Still waiting for that. Still waiting for Ezekiel 36. The revival of all of Christendom. The revival of Christendom. The revival of the nations, the bloodlines that had converted to Jesus Christ and then fell away, the great falling away. That's the vision of the Valley of the Dry Bones right there. It's the resurrection of Christendom, the resurrection of Christian peoples and bloodlines. We're in a dark period. We're in a dark moment. I do not care how strong the devil looks. And I want Christians to, maybe it's too much to ask. But I do, you know, not everybody, but there is a sense out there that people are so happy that things are getting bad and the Antichrist is coming because they're going to get, you know, they're going to get in the pre-check lane and pass everybody up and get on their flight and leave. Don't mean to make fun of that. It's not what I'm trying to do. And hey, I'll be the happiest guy in the world if you know, my personal rapture comes tomorrow. And you know, for some of you out there, your personal rapture may come tomorrow. We may go meet our maker. Maybe we fall off the curb and get run over. Who knows? Don't worry, we're going to see him. But it's only in this life that we have the opportunity to live by faith. It's only in this life that we have the opportunity to suffer for his name and to preach his word. Only in this life. Once you're in heaven, it's all easy. I know we all want to be there. I want to be there. We're building Christian nations. Had a podcast the other day on the rise of Christian nationalism. Made Drudge Report, man. The lead banner on drudgereport.com. The rise of Christian nationalism. You know, it's just a link. Drudge just links. And so it was a link to some AP writer that was a little Antichrist disciple, member of the cults of the world, writing, oh my God, a rise of Christ, and they're just horrified by it. And then I talked about how they appeal to their authorities, they appeal to their cult leaders and their prophets about why it's bad. I'm like, you know what? I'm so glad the devil's upset. Does the church believe in the devil anymore? Does the church believe in Satan anymore? I don't know if we do or not. All right, moving right along. You are from God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he who is in you than he who is in the world. Who's he talking about? He's talking about the Antichrist. Antichrist is in the world. Already in the world. Been in the world for 2,000 years. And we're here looking under the bushes, trying to find him. Oh, there he is. No. Hey, listen. Already there. 1 John chapter 2, verse 22. Who is the liar but the one who denies that Jesus is the Christ? This is the Antichrist. This is the Antichrist. 1 John chapter 2, verse 22. There's a religion out there, same religion that Jesus Christ fought against. They deny that Jesus is the Christ. That is the Antichrist. And you got Christians out there worshiping him, worshiping the Antichrist. Oh, do I dare say that? Do I dare say that? 1 John chapter 2, verse 22. Who is the liar but the one who denies that Jesus is the Christ? Why do you worship liars, Christians? Why do you worship liars? Who is the liar but the one who denies that Jesus is Christ? This is the Antichrist. The one who denies the Father and the Son. Whoever denies the Son does not have the Father. The one who confesses the Son has the Father also. Who are God's chosen people? Those who confess the Son, because we have the Father also. Who are the son of the devil? Those that deny Jesus Christ. They are the Antichrist. Number, what's the number of the beast? 666. Corporate man. 1 John 2:18. Children, it is the last hour. This was written 2,000 years ago. Children, it is the last hour. The biblical position on the end days is the end days began after the resurrection from the dead. It began after Pentecost. Children, it is the last hour. And just as you heard that the Antichrist is coming, even now, many Antichrists have appeared. From this, we know it is the last hour. It's been the last hour for 2,000 years, my friends, my brothers, my sisters. That's the biblical position on eschatology right there. It's been the last days since Pentecost. In the last days, I will pour out my spirit on all mankind. They will speak in new tongues, see visions and dreams. 1 John chapter 2, children, it is the last hour. This was written 2,000 years ago. It is the last hour. It is the last hour. Been for 2,000 years. Just that you heard that Antichrist is coming, even now, many Antichrists have appeared. And we're looking for it as a future thing, and yet it's been going on in our midst for 2,000 years. Who is the liar? The one who rejects Jesus Christ. Would you honor the enemies of your king? Would you honor the enemies of your king? Who would honor the enemies of their king? Knowing that they hate your king and despise your king and reject your king and say bad things about your king. Why would you honor your king? Isaiah 66, verse 23. It shall come to pass that from new moon to new moon, from Sabbath to Sabbath, shall all flesh come and worship before me, saith the Lord. Who's the Lord? It's Jesus Christ. All flesh shall come and worship before me. It's not a religious saying. That's a political statement. It's a statement of power. It's a statement of absolute power and hegemony. Jesus Christ is Lord. All the nations will come and bow down before Jesus Christ. This isn't, oh, the Christians believe. No, no, no. This is fact. Universal truth. That is, I just spoke universal truth. To all people, all times, for all eternity. It shall come to pass that from new moon to another, from Sabbath to another, shall all flesh come and worship before me, saith the Lord. Revelation 15:4. Who will not fear, O Lord, and glorify your name? What name? Jesus Christ. For you alone are holy, for all the nations will come and worship before you. All the nations will come and worship before you. This is what will be annihilated. They would be blotted out. Well, I don't believe Jesus would do that. Why? You don't believe in the great flood? Why? You don't believe when Jesus Christ talked about the separating the sheep and the goats? You don't believe in the Holy Scriptures? I'm just telling you what the Holy Scriptures say. But again, Jesus Christ warned. He warned the church, beware the leaven of the Pharisees. Beware. What's leaven? It's their doctrines. It's the tendency to overrule the Word of God with your oral traditions and written traditions. Talmud's just the written traditions. They don't believe in the Torah. They believe in the Talmud. If they believed in the Torah, they would have accepted Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ said that. Jesus Christ said that. All right. Now, I got a little good news. I got news. I'm going to prophesy about the future of Gates and Bezos. Who are the other ones out there? A lot of them are unnamed. The bankers go unnamed. You've heard their names, but they go unnamed. Oh, the richest the richest people in the world, and they can give you five or six names. They never name the bankers. Wonder why. Maybe they want to stay hidden. People running this debt-based capitalism, maybe they want to stay hidden. Let's put somebody else out front. Wise. Wise as serpents. Here's the future. Musk, that's another one. What's his name? Musk, Tusk? Electric car guy. Here's the future of these billionaires. Walton family. It's funny how all of them, Zuckerberg, Sergey Brin, Google founders. Revelation 18, verse 11. And the merchants of the earth will weep and mourn because no one buys their cargoes anymore. God's going to, when you read the Revelation, it talks about Babylon, Babylon the Great. Well, it goes right back to the Babel of old. Babel of old is directly related to this Babylon that will be destroyed in the Revelation. It's all there. Revelation 18, 15. The merchants of those things who became rich from her will stand at a distance because of the fear of her torment. For 1 hour, such great wealth will be laid waste. Verse 19, all who had ships at sea became rich by her wealth. For in 1 hour, she will be laid waste. Verse 23, for your merchants were the great men of the earth. Going to be wiped out. Kingdoms of the world will be turned over to the saints of the Most High God. That's the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's the gospel of Jesus Christ. We've tried as a church for the last 100, 150 years to reduce the gospel. See if we can reduce it so much that maybe somebody will believe it. Going in the wrong direction, man. Going in the wrong direction. The claims of the creator of the universe are universal. Don't reduce him to a religious figure. The claims of the creator on his creation are universal, without limit. And he'll pinch that little Satan like a pimple. He doesn't even pick up himself. He sends an angel. He says, go grab that rascal. Throw him into the lake that burns with fire. And throw in everybody that followed him. Throw in everybody that served Satan. Most people will go to hell. This isn't doom and gloom. This isn't hellfire and brimstone. I'm just telling you. Even a lot of Christians that think they're Christians are going to end up in a bad place. This is what Jesus Christ taught. Narrow is the way that leads to life, and few are those that find it. Narrow is the way that leads to life, and few are those who find it. Broad is the way that leads to destruction. You want an example? You want a biblical example of that? The Great Flood. Oh, but we don't teach the Great Flood anymore to church because it doesn't matter. No, it does matter. Few were those that found salvation. Eight people got on the ark. The rest drowned in the flood. Did God save some in the pre-flood world? Absolutely, he did. Starting with Adam and Eve. Not Cain, who was of the evil one. The Bible says Cain was of the evil one. Cain was of the seed of the serpent. Many are those that go down the dark path. Jesus said, hey, you know what? There's 10 versions. There's 10. Five were ready. Five weren't. These weren't harlots. They were virgins. And they came. They said, well, you know, yeah, we're a little late. He says, I don't even know you. I don't know who you are. I don't know you. Sorry, not coming in. You're not welcome anymore. What did he just say? He says, the people that were invited to the wedding feast, we know who those people are. They were invited. They refused to come. No, we don't want them to come. Jesus says, okay, go out to the highways and byways, compel people to come in. And so, you know, lots of people come in. And then he goes through. He looks at his guest. He said, get this guy out of here. He stinks. Got dirty clothes on. I don't want him. Boom. Gone. Dude thought he was in. Many will come to me on the day and say, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name, heal the sick, cast out devils, raise the dead? What does Jesus Christ say? Depart from me, evil workers. I never knew you. Never knew who you are. I don't know who you are. I don't care how many dead people you raise or how many demons you cast. Don't even know who you are. Broad is the way that leads to destruction, and few are those who, and many are those that go that way. Oh, God just loves everybody. Yeah, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, that whosoever should believe with him should not perish, but have eternal life. But let me tell you something. This ain't Jesus, the religious figure. It's the anointed one of God. It's literally the Son of God. And if you believe that, oh, it comes out of your mouth. And you declare with great pride, who your master is. It's not a game. It's not a business. It's not a self-help technique. It's not a little, oh, I won the lotto. It's not a free pass to heaven. It's who you are. It's who you are. And if it's not, I don't know, man. I don't know what to tell you. I think we're good. I think that's good for now. Fritz Bergen, bloodandfaith.com, out.